Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 12th and final round.
Right hand, Golovkin steps in and down he goes again. Unbelievable. Mayweather makes him pay. What a rookie mistake. A sensational left hook by De La Hoya.
It's facts. I'm the best. You know what I mean? Sometimes I don't want to believe it myself, but it's the truth. I'm the best.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
From Southern California, this is the Last Round Podcast.
Episode, what number are we at?
9, Danny Z.
Number 9. We should be on 10, but we had a scheduling conflict last week. But it's okay. We came back anyways. So it's not like we went on a extended hiatus. But we're back, Danny Z and Michael Shepherd here for the last round. And man, yeah, like I said, like I always say in the last previous 8 episodes, I feel like every week it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, with especially with this past Tuesday's announcement from PBC. And then, oh man, I don't know. I can't comprehend it anymore. How much bigger can it be in terms of the sport?
I think this is going to have to be a 3, maybe 4 hour show, Danny.
I think we're going that way. And so if you guys want to see a 3-4 hour show, like Joe Rogan does 3-4 hour shows sometimes, minimum usually 2. I don't know how he does it, but
you should see Joel's smile when I said 3-4 hour show. Just the money signs in Joel's eyes.
The money signs, the money signs right there in his eyes.
Huh? Cha-ching.
His pupils turn into money signs. But you know, let's just jump right into it. Get back in the rhythm here. Alexander Usyk stops Tony Bellew. Did you watch that fight? I thought it was great. I thought Usyk is
good fight. Didn't really agree with the scorecards from the.
You didn't think Bellew was winning at the time? Because I think it was two of them had him up?
2 or 3 of them had him up, I think.
Right.
I remember it was writing. 2. I thought Bellew maybe won the first 3 rounds because Usyk just seemed to be feeling him out, just kind of like, you know, throwing out a few jabs here and there just to right. see kind of how Bellew was going to react. Like he was just downloading information from Bellew so he could kind of change his style and, you know, decide how he was going to take the fight forward. Then I think pretty much, I think Usyk won every round since then. So I think it was, in my eyes, I think I had him probably 4-3 up going into the 8th. And then obviously the 8th was when he took him out.
I mean, look at where the fight was at. It was in essentially Bellew's turf. So
trying to say some home cooking there, Danny?
You never know, man. You never know.
Disrespecting my people?
We act like it doesn't happen. It happens all over the world. We act like it doesn't happen. It's just never been, I don't know, maybe it has been. Maybe it has been admitted. There's an admission out there somewhere. But I thought Bellew, like, yeah, you know, the knockout was pretty bad. Especially how he went down. It was like a la, like, Amir Khan status, you know?
Just fell into Eddie Hearn's arms.
Yeah, you see how Eddie Hearn jumped out and he was like kind of...
Going to push him back up.
He was going to push him back up or at least cradle his head. And then, but like, it was like that knockout when because I was watching it. And when he went down, that knockout reminded me of, remember when Triple G knocked down... was it Curtis Stevens?
Oh, that was a bad knockout.
You remember that one? Yeah. And you remember seeing his face? He was just like just amazed by the power. Like, what the hell? Like, Bellew's was not as crazy as that one, but that's what it reminded me of because he just went back and then and you see his eyes and he's just like, he doesn't even know where he's at.
What did you think of the interviews afterwards where Bellew just kept repeating himself and repeating himself?
I think he had a concussion.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He had a for sure concussion. He had a for sure concussion. And I mean, and it wasn't like, he was taking like numerous amounts of punches.
No.
Up until the end, like the last combo that Usyk got him and stopped him with, of course that was the hardest punches that he took in the fight, and of course he lost. But up until that point, like the damage he was taking, he was just getting broken down little by little.
Yeah, because Usyk's not really kind of like a one punch knockout. It's the same as Lomachenko, where it's just multiple and multiple. He just grinds you down. And even Bellew said afterwards, you know, he wasn't the greatest puncher, you know. But then he still, like, you know, knocked him out and looks like he gave him a concussion because he kept chasing Usyk around the ring to keep telling him, hey, you're the best I've ever fought, you know.
Kept kissing him on the forehead and everything. Like, and, like, he did it like 4 times.
Yeah, and I was like,
what are you doing? I mean, I get it. There was signs of respect. And I don't know, maybe we're wrong. Maybe he didn't have a concussion. Maybe he was just like, he knows that was his last fight. He was trying to enjoy the moment. Maybe it was, but I agree with you. It seemed like he was kind of concussed.
Yeah, I remember, was it Joe Rogan one time in the UFC was kind of saying that they shouldn't be, you know, interviewing guys who've just been knocked out due to those sorts of things.
Yeah, so. I remember hearing that. I mean, what do you think about that?
Like, you know, it didn't look like a huge knockout, but once he kept repeating himself, like me and you both said from watching it on the TV, we thought something was wrong.
Right.
So I think they should have just cut it short and then just waited until the interviews afterwards.
Right.
I know, obviously, you know, they want to get in there and they want to get the first interviews, you know, because sometimes, you know, fighters will say kind of something crazy afterwards and they get a good snippet they can put on TV, get lots of views. But I thought something was wrong. So did you. And I've heard other people say the same thing. So I think common sense should have said, like, hey, you know, just get him out of here.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, hopefully he's okay. I mean, I haven't heard or read anything about him, his medical examination following the fight. You know, maybe it is out there. Maybe they talked about it. I don't know. But I haven't heard anything. So hopefully he's okay. But like you said, it seemed like something was wrong. At least he was concussed, some type of, you know, injury. But, you know, hopefully we're wrong. And hopefully he was just being nice to him, just kept telling him thank you. But... but I mean, like, I don't know if we made, did we make predictions for that fight? Even the 2 weeks ago? I don't think we did, huh?
I think it went the way that everybody.
I mean, yeah, I expected Usyk to win. And then the first couple rounds, I remember some of the commentary were talking about, like, oh, you know, Bellew is actually in this. You know, he was. I mean, especially with Usyk coming with all that hype. Winning the World Boxing Super Series, being the unified champ at cruiserweight, you know, he was coming with a lot of hype, with a lot of momentum.
Yeah, he's an interesting character, you know, like he's kind of, what, that's was his 16th fight, unbeaten, been to everybody's backyard.
Yeah.
And, you know, taking the titles away from him, even on the scorecards, you know, going to countries like Poland and Latvia. You know, he's got a good pedigree. I think, obviously, you know, stepping up to the heavyweights soon.
Was he a ballet dancer too or what?
The guy's got some moves. You know, like I posted a few videos.
Like Lomachenko?
Yeah, I posted a few videos on the last round Twitter and you can see, you know.
How many do you think of these Ukrainians or Russians like are trying to follow in the footsteps of like Lomachenko who want to be boxers? Like, man, if he took ballet and he's like one of the best in the world, maybe I should do it. Like, I wonder how many people, because I guarantee you there's at least a couple who are like, you know what? I'm gonna go this route. I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, I mean, Papa Lomachenko seems to have had the right idea. You know, obviously, if you can't be touched because your feet are that good, you can get in and out without getting touched. Look at Loma. You know.
Oh yeah,
he's unbelievable footwork. And then obviously Usyk's just a cruiserweight version. So it's going to be interesting. You know, now obviously it looks like he's going to step up to heavyweight for the bigger paydays and, you know, try and unify another division just like Evander Holyfield.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So
real deal.
It'd be interesting to see how he does against, because, you know, back in the day, Tyson and Holyfield, you know, the heavyweights then, they were, you know, 225 pounds, 230.
Yeah.
Now the guys are legit giants, you know, at Tyson Fury and Wilder.
6'9", 6'7".
Because, like, you know, Wilder's big, but he comes in, you know, more of a 215 pounds, like kind of like a cruiserweight.
Between 215, 225 maybe.
Yeah. And then obviously you've got your Anthony Joshua's who are like 250.
Yeah. Just solid muscle.
But then you've got the... Jarrell Miller, 300 pounds.
Jarrell Miller's insane.
So it's going to be interesting to see how Usyk, you know, can...
You think he'll go up, though? I think he will.
It's looking like he will. I've seen a few interviews with Edgar Klimas.
Yeah, his manager.
And he's pretty much kind of said that he's going to do it. I imagine he'll probably start off with some of the cruiserweight / heavyweight style guys.
You know, yeah.
Like a Bellew and a Hay who have stepped up.
Yeah.
You know, just to maybe try and...
I mean, who in his first fledged heavyweight fight, who would be... a matchup they would put him against, because they're not going to throw him in there against, like, you know, Joshua and those guys right away. They're going to try to put him in there with somebody who's got a little bit more talent than, I mean, Bellew was a good, pretty solid test. I mean, yeah, he's older and he's in his mid-30s and yeah, it was his retirement fight and everything, but, you know, he still has talent. I mean, he still put up a pretty decent fight. I was impressed with it, and, you know, I was satisfied with the performance. But in terms of Usyk moving up to heavyweight, I don't know who he could, you know. I mean, like, obviously, that if he wins and if he keeps winning, like, they're going to try to make a fight. I think they will make a fight with, like, Joshua or one of the prominent heavyweights, you know.
I could see him facing, you know, some of the smaller guys, like a Kubrat Pulev.
Yeah.
A Joseph Parker. Like, Parker, I think, is only, like, 6'3".
You know what? I could see the Parker fight. Because Usyk is what, 6'?
Someone said that, I heard the other day, they said that he's listed at 6'3", but people think he's actually taller.
Oh, really?
Which is kind of strange why you'd put yourself as a smaller guy.
I can see Usyk and Joseph Parker going at it.
Jerick Chisora, you know, obviously he's listed. Chisora, he's fighting, obviously, Dylan White in December, but he's a smaller heavyweight.
Yeah.
Like we were just saying about a cruiserweight that's moved up. You know, do you remember Marco Huck?
Right.
The German. He's similar, small, but he's moved up to heavyweight, probably for the bigger paydays. Robert Hellenius, the guy from Finland, he's another one. Or even a local guy, you know, Anthony Ruiz Jr.
Yeah, Ruiz Jr.
Yeah, he could be an interesting one.
I mean, Povetkin's what, like 6'4"?
Yeah, and he's a solid guy. He's skillful as well.
And he's skillful.
Yeah.
That's why I think, like, you know, yeah, Povetkin was beat by, like, Joshua and Klitschko and stuff, but, like, Povetkin's still dangerous for anybody.
And he's a name.
And he's a name.
Because, obviously, you know, he's got that DAZN deal. He's got that Eddie Hearn money.
Oh, yeah.
So
Hearn with Hearn.
Everybody's chasing the Anthony Joshua fight.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, now Usyk's beating Belly with a British fighter, you'd have thought that they'd want another person that's kind of known. So you're looking at maybe someone like, you know, Povetkin or somebody that Joshua's already fought.
I could see Usyk and Povetkin going at it.
I think that'd be good. And Joseph Parker's another one who, ever since he got beaten by Joshua, he's come back and he's fought Dylan White.
Right.
He keeps getting the British fighters, you know, because I take it the British public must have maybe taken to him. And Eddie Hearn's like, hey, you know, he comes, he fights.
He's making money. So it works out. Yeah. Yeah, I can see it. So you think Usyk is no more cruiserweight after this fight?
I'd be surprised. I mean, it's a really...
So he relinquishes his titles?
I think it's a lose-lose situation. He's taking it. He's the undisputed. Like, I don't see anybody in that division where he could really earn mega money. He might as well. You know, he's done it. He's won all the titles. He's kind of cleaned up that division. Unless, for some reason, like, Andre Ward decided to come back and... You know, that would probably be a good cash fight for him.
I think, I honestly think, like, Ward would possibly come back for
that one-off fight.
Maybe. Because, I mean, honestly, like, yeah, he went out on top and everything, but, like, there wasn't any more money for him to make in the division.
No, he was never really a big earner because of the fact he always kind of went 12 rounds because he was so skillful.
Right.
He was very defensive-minded, like Floyd towards the end.
Yeah.
Which wasn't fan-friendly, even though he did have a HBO deal. Mm-hmm. He didn't really earn the mega money that he probably should have done for the talent that he had.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I could see Ward. I mean, yeah, Ward says, like, oh, I'm not coming back. I'm not. But, like, if the money's there, I feel like he's going to be like, you know what? I could come back for this.
I'm just another one's just coming to my mind, a great heavyweight, maybe possibly the greatest heavyweight of all time of recent era.
Who?
King Charles Martin.
Oh, God, yeah. The IBF world champ, former IBF world champ. Man. Hey, you know what, though? He's in the record books, though, man. He's like, you know what? I was world champ. Yeah, he was world champ.
For like 20, 30 minutes?
Yeah. Was it 20, 30 minutes? Oh, man. I remember that, too.
I think he won the title, and Eddie Hearn was like, oh, my God, I'm going to throw so much money at this guy so Anthony Joshua can just relinquish the titles from him.
Yeah.
I've never seen a heavyweight get into the ring and then actually look at their opponent, and I think I could visibly see his legs shaking.
Oh, yeah. You could tell he was intimidated. It's like, dang, that sucks. That sucks.
That would be a great fight for Usyk.
Oh, yeah. I could see that. I could see it. Well, yeah, I could see Usyk taking that and like, oh, yeah, look at what I did. Like, I could see it. But I would like to see Usyk Povetkin. You know, yeah, you want to see against the Joshuas, the Wilders and stuff. But Usyk Povetkin, especially them being similar height, they're both very skillful. I think that's a great matchup.
And it gives him time. You know, he fights to kind of the smaller guys like we just listed, the good guys who've, you know, come up from cruiserweight or, you know, just generally smaller, like 6'3", like a Joseph Parker.
Right.
Gives him time to naturally put that extra size on.
Right.
You know, get that extra muscle on there. So I think those are definitely a great list of people.
Yeah. It's going to happen. I'd say probably what? March? April?
Yeah, I think his next fight will probably be around then. Like, the guy's definitely going to be, you know, the MVP of 2018.
Oh, yeah. He's going to have to be the fighter of the year.
Yeah, definitely, without a doubt.
Yeah. That guy is insane. These Ukrainians, man, it's ridiculous. They're taking over. So, okay. Fight preview. What do we got this Friday? Friday night on ESPN. Is this ESPN Plus or ESPN?
I think it's just old regular ESPN.
What? No way. So we got Maurice Hooker, 24-0 with 16 KOs against Alex Salcedo. Salcedo's trained by, is it Abel?
Yeah, that's right. He's Abel Sanchez, open, right? Big band, local to us.
Yeah, so he's not too far from our studio here. 28-0, 24-0. I think this is a sleeper fight. Like this is one's going to be under. I mean, it's going to be under the radar. Just, you know, there's people who are like, of course, casuals like, oh, I don't know who that is, but I think this is going to be a pretty good fight.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good fight. I think because there's so many big fights coming up, obviously, you know, Wilder and Fury are stealing all of the headlines.
Oh, yeah. A couple of weeks away from that.
This would be a good fight for anybody who's listening, doesn't know that it's on and you've got ESPN. You know, I would definitely watch it. It's strange because obviously you've got Maurice Hooker's actually going to Saucedo's backyard to defend his title.
Oh, yeah. That's right. At Oklahoma City.
Yeah, it's going to be a good fight. Hooker's actually from Dallas. He's going across the state line to Oklahoma to defend his 140-pound title against Saucedo. A good top-rank card. Who's your money on?
I'm going Saucedo.
You're going to go? I'm going to go Big Mo.
I like Mo.
The English fans took to him when he came over and defeated Terry Flanagan. Mighty Mo.
Everybody defeats Terry Flanagan lately.
Yeah, well, that's true. He stepped up and he got found out, didn't he? I think.
Yeah. He's still good though. He still does his thing.
You know, I just love Hooker. He's got. That's a different story. But he's a character. You know, he's got something like 9 kids.
Oh wow! Does he really?
Yeah, he's got something like 9 kids.
What the hell? I didn't know that. Fun fact of the day on the last round: 9 kids for Mo Hooker.
And here's another one. Do you remember when this went to purse bids? Top Rank outbid Matchroom.
Oh, that's right. It did. Eddie Hearn must have been pissed.
Yeah, so the Top Rank outbid Matchroom. It's a Matchroom fighter that actually has the title. So with him being the challenger, so Top Rank have paid $1.6 million for the fight. $1.2 million is going to go to Hooker, which isn't their fighter, and only $406,000 is going to go to Saucedo. So it's kind of strange for somebody else to be paying the.
Wow, that's insane. I don't know. I think Salcedo's gonna. I like the matchup regardless.
It's a good fight.
I like the fight. I really like the fight. And they're both undefeated, young guys. It's a world championship fight for lightweight title, 140-pound. Especially now that especially Mikey's not there and Crawford's not there. That division's essentially wide open for anybody to kind of take it to be the top guy in that division. I like Salcedo. You going Hooker?
I'm going Hooker. I just like him. I think he's a funny guy.
I think Salcedo stops him.
Salcedo, though, do you know, I think in his last fight, he took a lot of damage. He won, but he took a lot of damage.
Damn it. Now you're making me rethink it. You're right. But I'm still going Salcedo. I don't care.
It's one of someone's, he's got to go. That's Hooker, 23-0, with 3 draws, though. And Salcedo is to 28-0, 18 KOs.
This is an exciting fight. I just hope it's one of those that, like, you know, on paper, obviously it looks good and it translates into the ring. Because, you know, you see it on paper, you're like, this is going to be great. And then it doesn't translate nearly as well into the ring. So I'm hoping it does.
They kind of know each other. They said in an interview that back in 2011, when they just after they both turned pro, they actually sparred.
Oh, so they have some familiarity.
Yeah, exactly. No one even really hinted who got the better back in those days, like 7 years ago. So I'm hoping that since they've had a little bit of familiarity, maybe when they get in the ring, there's not going to be that feeling out period.
Right.
It was a long time ago, though, so maybe the first few rounds, maybe just a bit of a feel out. But I'm pretty confident it's going to be a good fight, so I'm going to be tuning into that tomorrow night.
It's going to be a good one. I'm going Salcedo 9th round.
I'm going to go Hooker, and I think it might go the full 12. I think full maybe 12. Hooker on points.
I think it might go. I'm leaning towards the 12, but I'm going to take the wild card and just go. I'm going to go 9. 9 rounds, Salcedo stops him. Or TKO. Well, either way. I'm just throwing it out there.
Well, he's an Abel Sanchez fighter, so they don't.
I like it.
I don't think they're told to go 12.
That's true. Mexican style. I'm telling you. Training up there in the high altitude is no joke. No joke. And then we got on the 17th of November, this Saturday, pretty significant DAZN card from Kansas City, the home of Brandon Rios, who's actually on the card. He's not headlining, but you know, we'll start with the main event. Jarrell Big Baby Miller, who's like, 330 pounds of, man, that guy's insane. Heavyweight, he's 22-0 with one draw against Bogdan. Is it Dinu or Dinu? How do you pronounce that?
I would have said Dinu.
Dinu? I mean, who's the favorite in this fight? Is this just a stay busy fight for Miller? I mean, this Dinu is 18-0, which is great, but I mean, obviously Jarrell Miller wants these big heavyweight guys and Joshuas and the Wilders and the Furies and, you know, even the Povetkins.
I would agree with what you said to begin with. It should be a stay busy fight for Jarrell Miller. I'm not going to lie, I'd never even heard of Bogdan Dinu before. I had to look up who he was.
This is his chance to make a name for himself, though.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it's another one for Jarrell Miller to look good, talk his way into a big fight.
He's been trying to talk his way to a big
fight.
Yeah,
you know, he's turning up at the press conferences for fights he's not even on, you know, for AJ and White, talking a lot of smack about both of them, so, you know, calling them bums and stuff like that.
Who was the last guy that Miller fought a couple months ago? He was just like, in terms of size, it was just...
Oh, he fought...
Do you remember that? Like the old
Polish guy.
Yeah, in terms of size, like Miller was just a freaking bulldozer.
Adamek, wasn't it? Thomas Adamek?
Oh, it was.
Like,
it
42
was.
Years
it
old?
It was like in Chicago or somewhere here in the East Coast in the States.
And then he went to his changing room afterwards and was like, hey, I used to watch you growing up. And
yeah.
It was like nearly in tears that he beat
him. And Adamek had a lot of Polish fans there because there was a big Polish community.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was trying to do his thing, but just Miller was just too strong. He's a bulky guy. Like, he's just way too big, and he just kept like chasing him, and it's just like
just cuts
like,
the ring off.
It looked like a video game. He's just like kind of chasing him, like he's like a monster. It's like, what the hell is going on here? But you know, of course, I'm picking Miller. I think he's gonna stop him within five.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's one of those fights that was made to be like that. So
yeah, so you know, and I think Miller's gonna get a significant fight next. He should, because I think he's due for it, especially if he wins. I mean, even if he has to get like a Povetkin or you know, even a Joseph Parker or something.
I think they're going to start sticking him in with some more names that, you know, the British fighters.
Yeah.
Like a David Price, maybe. I don't know whether Price would want that, but
probably not, but I could see that.
Because, you know, like everybody else in that division, they're chasing the big fight with AJ. They're chasing the money fight.
Right.
So.
Oh, man. But. Yeah, I don't know if this is a co-main event or not, but we're just kind of going down the list here. War Rosado. I feel Rosado's been in the ring with everybody. Against Luis Arias, who fought Danny Jacobs. I don't think he fought. Was that his last fight against Jacobs? Has he been in the out of the ring that long?
I think he has. I don't think he has fought since then.
I don't remember him being in the ring after that. But Rosado versus Arias. I think that's a pretty decent matchup in terms of like skill and I mean I'm going Arias with that. I just feel he's got more momentum behind him. I mean, Rosado's like a good, like, do you want to call him a gatekeeper? I mean, I don't really think he's with 11,
I wouldn't the thing
with
about
11 losses. I mean, I honestly think I like the guy. I met him. I've talked to him.
Yeah, I met him in Vegas.
But like I think it's more like because he was in Creed.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Creed. He has a decent, he's like a Hollywood look, that image and stuff. And I think it's more of that. And, you know, and he shows that he's not scared to fight anybody. He's been in there with like Triple G and those guys.
I think that's more what it is. He's got the record of a gatekeeper, but I don't think he's
24-11. Is that a gatekeeper though? With 11 losses?
See, I don't think he's a gatekeeper because I just think, like you said, that he's not scared to fight anybody. Like, he will fight for money. He's like an old-fashioned warrior, you know?
Yeah.
I'm actually going to go for Rosado. I just think Arias, his last fight against Jacobs was absolutely terrible. Like, he didn't turn up to fight at all. Not at all.
Jacobs took that easy.
You know, this is his first fight of 2018. Jacobs was pretty much the only person on his resume that you could have of any note.
Right.
So I think, you know, maybe overinflated a little bit, 18-1. Obviously, it's a better record than Rosado, but when you look at Rosado, you've got on there like Martin Murray, Willie Monroe, Lemieux, Charlo, Quinlan, Love, Golovkin. He's been in with a huge pedigree of different types of people over the last few years. I think Rosado, because he needs it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But I mean, like, how many times have we said that? When he had nine losses and they were like, oh, I remember the commentary watching the fight, all the experts and media personnel were saying, oh, you know, if he gets one more loss, it's double digits. He's not going to. Man, he's at 11 losses. He's still.
Yeah.
He's still, like you said, I think it's just because of his resume. He's shown that he's willing to fight anybody.
Exactly.
Like, he's like, and then, like, especially when he fought Golovkin and he had all that bloody face and everything. Like, it's like an image. Like, man, like, well, that just shows that you went in there to take it, you know?
Yeah. And he's good for TV, you know?
Yeah.
People like HBO, well, not anymore. Showtime, well, DAZN.
Two more, but.
He is the sort of person that you want on there because of his fight's going to turn out bloody. It's going to be a war. You know, he's not scared to lose his O because it's gone, you know, a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
So he's perfect.
It was gone a long time ago.
It's perfect.
Oh, that's true. But, you know, I think that's a pretty decent matchup. You know, I'm going Arias on this one. You're going Rosado. Either way, I mean, Arias has more to lose here, obviously.
Yeah.
Because Arias, you know, has only lost against Jacobs. He's still young enough in his career where if he keeps winning his subsequent matchups, he can make it up the ladder again and probably get some more decent paydays. So, next matchup, Brandon Rios, Kansas City native. So I wonder if he's going to have a lot of fans there because I think that's where he was born and that's his hometown. Against Canelo's older brother, Ramon Alvarez. Do you think Canelo's going to be there? I think he's going to be there because it's a DAZN card.
He might be, you know, obviously just to support his brother, get a few fans out there.
Yeah. I think he will, especially because it's a DAZN card. So, but I think that's cool obviously, you know that Canelo kind of pulled some strings here. He's like, hey, well, you know, I'll sign with you guys, you know, help me out. I'll get my brother on a card or something. So, you know. Against Brandon Rios, who do you got in that? I'm going Alvarez.
You're going to go Alvarez? You think Rios has passed it?
I think Rios is done, man. I think he's just... That knockout with Danny Garcia, that straight right, it's just like... that. It wasn't even like... That straight right from Danny Garcia in the last fight in Vegas, yeah. Like it wasn't even like it was like a combo or that it came out of nowhere. It was literally like... almost slow motion, but it wasn't. Like Garcia was just standing there, and then he just kind of, it was like a video game. He just popped him, and that was it. It's like, what the hell? Like, that was it. It wasn't like he tried to hide it or anything. I'm going Alvarez on this, and I think Rios retires after this.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Unless he's got a multi-fight deal with DAZN, because they're like, oh, well, we can.
Well, did you see? He did an interview yesterday with ESPN, and he told them that he's got four more years.
What?
I know. I think... I'm going to guess just money. He must just need the money.
Rio, you know what? Rios is that type of guy that, like, he, you know, all these guys love boxing, but I feel like if he just doesn't box, he's just, like, really, really bored. And then, you know, obviously, you know, you get decent paydays still. Like, oh, okay, well, yeah, I'm going to keep fighting and fighting and fighting. So.
He said he's got four more years, 35 years old. I'm calling it quits. That's my deadline. I promised my little girl that when I win a world title, the next one's going to be for her. That's his words.
I mean, let's see. Is it interim count?
I'm hoping so because he's going to get himself hurt.
Or does what about the IBO? Hey, they are world titles.
I honestly think I could win an IBO.
It's like, what's his name? Who had the IBO title for the longest time and he was all about it. He's like, oh, I have a world title.
Chris Eubank.
Yeah,
Chris Eubank Jr.
he was all about it. He's like, this is a real world title. And people would give him crap for it. So I'm going Alvarez, you're going Rios. And then we got female fighters. Clarissa Shields fighting Hannah Rankin. Hannah Rankin actually, the Hammer should have been in that spot.
That's right, yeah.
Christina Hammer should have been in that spot. But she pulled out of the fight. There was a rumor. I don't know if it got confirmed or not, but I don't know where I saw it. And maybe it was just gossip, but that she was like might be pregnant. So that's why she pulled out.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it was real. I don't know if it was. People were just saying that. But did they ever say a reason why she pulled out? I mean, I'm sure they made like it was a medical thing. But
I think all I remember is that they said it was for some kind of medical reason and they were going to try and make the fight next year. But I don't know whether she's just kind of running scared because she's been living off, like, you know,
Well, I mean, like, everybody's already, like, everybody's been wanting to see this fight mostly because the Hammer has the titles and she's obviously been beating everybody. and Shields is the biggest threat. And everybody's picking Shields to beat her anyways. And I think she probably knows, like, well, dang, like, Shields is obviously going to be my toughest challenge. If I'm going to have to fight her eventually, but when I fight her, then that's kind of going to derail my career.
Yeah, because she's unbeaten. She's big in Germany, isn't she? She's kind of like a boxer / cover model out there.
Well, she's pretty hot, so.
It's going to be a big fight, but the Clarissa Shields in ranking one, rankings from Scotland. I think she's like 5-2, but she holds a version of the world title.
Right.
Clarissa Shields, I believe, holds, is it two? Two titles, world titles?
I think she's got two now. WBC and WBA?
Yeah, so she's making her first defense of her world titles on DAZN. It should be a good fight. I think Shields is actually kind of looking like more in shape now.
Yeah.
Ranking is coming over. You know, she's going to be the underdog. Clarissa Shields has been talking a lot of smack.
I mean, Shields is the big favorite here.
She is the big favorite. You know, I think it's going to be a big surprise if she loses to Rankin.
Imagine.
It would kind of be nice for me to see Rankin win, not just because she's a British fighter, but because Shields is just kind of talking a lot of smack to her. And I don't know. I just don't find her funny.
You're going for the Shields. Underdog?
Yeah,
well, you know what it is though. Like, I've met a lot of people. Like, I've met a lot of fans and stuff like that. I get fights and events and on Twitter and stuff like that, where they tell me, like, you know what? Like, she's obviously has talent and stuff like that, but like her attitude is just, it turns me off. They're like, they don't like her attitude and like sometimes what she says online and everything. Like, oh well,
like she jumps in a lot of the time. And, you know, just
it's like sometimes they're like, I just kind of stay out of it. You know?
Yeah, for no reason. She's always in there like talking shit to people, but I'm not a big fan of her doing that. I don't know, just something about it.
But she is good, though. I mean, she doesn't.
She is a good fighter. I don't.
I mean, the female pool needs more competition. Everybody knows.
Yeah,
that's
the problem.
Everybody knows that. So. Yeah. But you know, it is what it is. And then one of our favorites, Anthony Sims Jr., the magician, coming back.
Hopefully, after he fights, try and get him back on either.
Oh, I'm sure
in the studio or over the phone for everybody.
Anthony, if you're listening, you're coming back on the show after this. After this fight, after you win against Colby Couture, like Randy Couture, the MMA fighter. This guy's 13-12? What? Oh, gosh. He's another Rosado, except he's, man, 13-12. I mean, you know, obviously Sims is an advantage fight for him. They're building him, especially he just signed with DAZN and Eddie Hearn's trying to build his name. He's a big guy. He's a big kid. He's obviously got personality.
Just a little personality.
Yeah. Just a little. And obviously he likes the English fans. He's a big fan of fans across the pond. So, you know, obviously we're going Sims Jr. here. Because if you don't, I think
if you don't,
he's going to be pissed.
Yeah, I think it'll be the same as last time. Another good showing for Anthony. I think he'll probably be the same. He'll just eventually grind him down. I think he'll win by TKO, probably like round four, round five. I think it should be good again. You know, he's very definitely fan-friendly, not just his personality, but, you know, the way that he actually fights, his old-school shots and stuff like that.
Yeah. So,
friend of the show, I think me and you definitely going to be going for him. If not, you know, I think Anthony will come down here and slap you about, Danny Z.
Oh, yeah, he's going to kick our ass. He's going to go after you first, though. He's like, you English, you're supposed to be on my side.
He likes
you English guys.
Yeah, he likes the accent, so.
I'm telling you. All right, news and notes of the section. Let's just touch on this really quick. I don't want to spend too much time on this because, you know, I feel like we're getting toyed here. So last couple weeks, Floyd Mayweather gets announced that he's going to fight in Ryzen MMA in Japan. And Ryzen MMA is like another professional MMA. It's been around, MMA promotion. It's been around for a long time. Obviously, like UFC and those guys are the big ones. But Ryzen's been around for a long time. They've been in Japan. I knew about it a long time ago. Shout out to my MMA buddy in the New York, New Jersey area, Ed, who told me about Ryzen and all these other promotions a long time ago. But, you know, Floyd, they did a press conference over there. They said he was going to fight this 20-year-old MMA fighter named Tenshin Nasukawa. And they didn't even announce any rules. And then they said, oh, yeah, it's going to be on December 31st, New Year's Eve. And then after that, Mayweather says, like, no, nothing's happening. They sold me out. They what the hell? What the hell's happening here?
It made no sense. Like, he was trying to, what his excuse was, oh, they told me it was going to be just for a private selection of you know, like multi-billionaires.
Like high-paid attendees or something.
But he was at the press conference where they were talking about it.
Yeah.
It made absolutely no sense.
I mean, he said in subsequent interviews that he said, well, I wanted to be professional, so like I didn't want to say anything because we were in the press conference, so I just went along with it. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. And then I just saw a TMZ interview, I think yesterday or sometime this week, where he told TMZ, he's like, oh, no, we're going to make it happen. It's like, what the hell is that? Like, what's happening? Like, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe like, it's good for Ryzen. It's good for Ryzen and this kid, because like now, look at how many people are talking about Ryzen MMA and this 20-year-old MMA fighter, Tenshin Nasukawa. Who else would have known about Tenshin? I mean, there's people out there, MMA fans, who know about Ryzen, but
I think
if publicity stunt.
If the fight goes ahead and he gets paid, supposedly, I think it's around $88 million.
That's insane.
They'll pay him $88 million and then Ryzen will go bankrupt January 1st.
Probably.
$88
million. They're going to go out on top for one night and then be like, all right, it's over.
That's it.
We did it. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. But, you know, that's a entertainment in and of itself.
He'll just put them in the corner. Like, you know, they announce it. They then look kind of silly because he calls it off. He then goes back and is like, hey, you know, we'll do it, but these are the rules. And he picks all the rules. The other guy has to wear some like 22-ounce gloves. Looks like a clown. And then, you know, because he's going to do it like he always has done, so everything is in his favor.
Yeah. But
he's not stupid. Yeah. He's a good businessman.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Nobody's doubting that. Yeah. But we'll see. We're on the Mayweather train here, and let's just see what happens.
Exactly.
So let's talk about the undercards that have been announced, that are slowly getting announced for, let's start with Canelo Fielding. What they just announced recently for Canelo Fielding as an undercard?
So for Canelo Fielding, so far we've got Virgil Ortiz Jr.
All right, Golden Boy fighter.
And Robert Garcia, the gym. He's on there. He's fighting the notorious TBA.
Oh, TBA, undefeated TBA.
Same as Ryan Garcia. He's on the undercard, and then TBA is also fighting him.
I'm interested. Ryan Garcia, now that he's been with Reynoso a month or so, and you know, leading up to it, that's what everybody's going to be looking at. Like, okay, let's see what kind of adjustments, what kind of changes you made. So
I'm hoping that
I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, I'm hoping that now he's changed and he's not been, you know, managed and stuff like that by his dad. I'm hoping that they just take him away from the limelight. They work on his game,
mm-hmm.
work on his footwork, work on his defense, you know, stuff like that. So he's not so robotic.
Yeah.
Just so he takes him out of the limelight for a little while, build him up. Right. Then come back. Because at the minute, they were throwing us down our throats so much that...
The money, man. He was drawing money.
But it makes you want to fight back, because he's fighting all these people from the weights below. And they're like, oh, he's the world's best. You know, I fought Lomachenko. I sparred Lomachenko. I beat his ass. You're like, dude. You're like, come on. So anyway, I hope that's what they do to him. You know, take him away, improve him, then bring him back like a, you know, Ryan Garcia 2.0.
You never know. You never know. I mean, going with Eddie Reynoso is obviously a really great change for him. So let's see if it works out for him. Was there anything else announced for that undercard?
One that, you know, we hope to be getting on here soon is Mauricio Herrera is fighting Saddam Ali.
That's right.
Kind of a comeback fight for both of them.
Yeah, it is.
Mauricio, obviously a local fighter. I spoke to him, and he's agreed to come on the show. So hopefully we can get him on either just before the fight or after
That'd
the fight.
Great. That'd be great to have him on just before the fight. So Mauricio, if you're listening, we're waiting. We are waiting. And then Saddam Ali, like you said, both a comeback fight for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
That should be a pretty decent matchup. So hopefully good luck to both of them. What else do we got?
David Lemieux is fighting somebody.
The Canadian playboy is back.
I'm going to murder this name. Tereno Johnson.
Oh, murdered it. You're done. That's it.
Tereno Dexter Johnson from the Bahamas.
Lemieux's on there because they're trying to keep him at the same timeline as like Canelo and these other big, especially Canelo, because I mean, I guarantee you that Canelo and Lemieux will fight because Golden Boy gets to keep all that money.
Keep that money in house.
Yeah.
You may recognize Lemieux's opponent. He fought Derevyanchenko back in August 2017. Derevyanchenko TKO 12th round.
Oh.
So, you know. You hardcore fans, I guess, you probably may remember that name.
Sergey Derevyanchenko.
And then the co-main event for that night, obviously people probably already know this, is Tevin Farmer is defending the IBF World Super Featherweight title.
Against Gervonta Davis?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Come on.
Francisco Fonseca.
Okay.
So that
Fonseca,
should be.
Who did he fight? He's fought some decent names. or he fought somebody. Who was it?
You're right. He fought Davis. He fought Davis.
That's who he was. Yeah, he fought Davis. That's where I was like, where did I remember him?
That was the Mayweather McGregor undercard where Davis missed weight.
That's right.
In the fight,
and he lost his title.
Yeah, he lost his fight.
Damn.
Lost the title on the scales for being overweight, and then obviously the title was only on the line during that fight for Fonseca. That was the one where it was wasn't it a strange knockout where Javante like hit him on the back of the head?
It was. Yeah, and they were like, what the hell? Like, what happened? Everybody was all confused.
Yeah, Fonseca was trying to like, oh, I can't carry on. I can't carry on.
So, yeah, whatever.
That's right.
So let's transition to the Wilder Fury undercard. I mean, there was a couple undercard fights that they were mentioned and they were rumored, but they actually didn't, some of them didn't happen on there. But Chris Arreola is going to be on there, who's actually fought Wilder. And he's been in there with like Klitschko and those guys. So he's been around a while. Chris Arreola is a local guy too, so hopefully we can get him in the ring. And then here's another one. Robert the Ghost Guerrero is coming back. After he retired, I mean, how much money do you think they threw at him? Or do you think he was just like, you know what? I'm doing it again.
I think, you know, people like Rios and the people who were on the verge of retirement, because all that money has now come in. The Zone,
Fox,
ESPN doing the contract, you know, all those.
I think Al Heyman told Guerrero, he was like, hey, this is the time when you want to come back. One last payday for you and your family. It's just like, oh, let's do it.
Yeah,
if you think that was it.
If you've still got a little bit of a name and you can, you know, you can attract a few fans, this is probably the perfect time to be in boxing.
Oh yeah,
without a doubt, I would say.
I saw on Twitter when they announced that Robert Guerrero was coming back. Somebody tweeted, put him in a rematch against David Peralta. that guy's actually a cab driver. Like he's a legit cab driver. Because I was at that fight. I think Santa Cruz headlined that card. It was at the Arrowhead, it used to be called the Arrowhead Pond, the Honda Center in Anaheim.
That when he fought Kiko Martinez?
I think so.
I was at that fight.
Yeah. And I remember Peralta stopped. He stopped Robert Guerrero, but he was like, what the hell? And I remember he came and did media interviews, and he was as happy as could be. Like, he was like, man, this is insane. Like, I remember everybody was asking, like, oh, how do you feel? Like, how you stopped him? And that was insane. I remember. And then I remember he's like, yeah, he's like, if I would have lost today, like I would have been like, I would have quit boxing. He's like, but you know, I'm going to keep fighting. And he's like, I drive a cab in Argentina. I remember that. And of course the next fight he fought like in Argentina, he lost. So we never heard of him again, but that was his moment. He's going to remember that for the rest of his life.
Definitely. Yeah.
He will.
So, like something from a film.
Yeah, seriously. Talk about Fury. Fury just came down from Big Bear. He was up there for a couple weeks training. And now he came back down here to LA, which is lower altitude, of course. He's training at Wildcard Gym right there in Hollywood. And here's the big news. This is huge. This is very interesting because, you know, people don't look at it this way. Freddie Roach is going to be his cut man. But even though he kind of said he's kind of more like an assistant, but he's like, he's going to be there for the cuts. But you think he got nervous with Davidson? He's like, oh, you know what? Maybe we should put somebody like a veteran in there just in case.
Good question. See, I think he's got, like, he likes Davidson, I think, because by the sounds of it, Davidson makes his training interesting.
Right.
And being the kind of character I think Fury is, I don't think he likes the monotonous same things, the running and all that kind of stuff.
The routine.
So, yeah, I think so, because he's kind of like an ADHD kind of guy, you know? And, you know, everybody says that Freddie Roach, one of the best attributes that he has is watching a fight and being able to dissect it.
Oh, yeah. He's a mind, man. He's a boxing mind.
So I think that's one of the reasons that they've got him in there. I think it's because...
I think it's a good move.
Because his old, obviously, coach, you know, Peter Fury, people were saying at the time when he was going to fight Wilder, they were like, hey, you need to go back to Peter because Peter's going to give you the game plan that made you be able to beat Klitschko.
Yeah. He's like, and that's what you need.
And obviously, he hasn't gone back to that because...
You think it got him nervous? People were like, oh, you know what?
Well, he couldn't go back because of the family feud.
Well, yeah, of course.
People don't know exactly what went on. You know, there's rumors, but...
Yeah.
Didn't go back because of that family feud. So I'm thinking that, you know, he's got Davidson in there for the training, for the laughter, you know, to keep kind of Tyson Fury's mind.
You think he got cold feet? He's like, oh, you know what?
I need that experience.
He's like, maybe I should throw somebody in there. And
either that or maybe just, you know, being English, coming over here, meeting Freddie Roach, you know, the legendary trainer.
Because he's never really like, I mean, he's working out at his gym and everything. And maybe he kind of grew fond of him. He's like, oh, you know what? Like, this guy's cool. Like, you know what? Come, you want to be in the corner? Maybe that could be it, which honestly sounds very believable.
You know, kind of meeting like a movie celebrity and he's just kind of like, you know what?
And Roach isn't going to say no. He's like, yeah, I'll do it. It's a huge heavyweight fight and it's right here in LA. And he lives in LA. So I think it's cool. I think regardless of why it happened, I think it's a great move. And I'm interested to see on the broadcast, especially how it's going to look like with Freddie Roach there and Davidson, you know. I'm interested to see that dynamic.
Because I don't think, you know, seeing Davidson and, you know, having met and spoken to Freddie, both of them are those kind of big, loud characters where if Freddie was supposed to just be the cut man, I don't see Freddie taking over the corner and kind of, you know, taking Ben Davidson's job away.
I think he's going to give him, I think Davidson, like, yeah, he's going to lead, but like, he will be asking Freddie for advice. Like, well, Freddie, what do you think? You know, I think that's why he's there.
Because.
And Freddie's going to be like, oh, well, you know, tell him this when he gets here. I think Freddie's, like you say, he's going to respect the line.
Yeah.
But when he's asked for something like advice, like, well, Freddie, what do you think? Like, he's going to be, oh, well, try this.
Because Ben Davidson is literally, this is his first fighter he's ever had, and he's never been.
He's like in his early 20s.
He's never been into the inner corner of something of that magnitude.
Oh, no, not. And you go to a huge, probably the biggest heavyweight fight since at least Joshua Klitschko, you know?
And Freddie's been there multiple times, though. You know, so it's going to be good for them.
I think it's good. I think, regardless of why they did it, it's a good move. It's a good move.
I agree.
And then, you know, wrapping up the show here with the biggest news of the week. Probably the biggest news of the month, essentially. Premier Boxing Champions and Fox announced their lineup for the next few months, the next several months, which is mostly going to be on, I think they're all going to be on Fox. Fox Deportes, Fox Sports, and Fox. Let's start. You want to start with the top or the bottom? You know, we'll kind of run through them. Of course, we're going to spend some time on more than others. Which one do you want to start with?
Yeah, we'll start. We'll just go with the most recent and run down. So, obviously, coming up, we have Jermell Charlo, Willie Monroe Jr.
160-pound middleweight title.
And
he's an interim. I think he's an interim champion. I don't think he's full-fledged.
And then we've got Jermell Charlo against Tony Harrison and Dominic Brazil v. Carlos, is it Negron?
I think it's Negron.
Negron. That's December 22nd, and that's going to be on Fox. Good card there. I think two really home fights. Both Charlos should win those.
I mean, yeah. I think the Charlos are trying. They're the ones selling the fight and everything.
There's levels to this game, Danny.
There's levels. So the Charlo brothers, you know, twins and doing their things. So, you know, I get it. You know, obviously, Jermell, he's at 160 pounds. He's obviously trying to get a fight with, you know, one of the big middleweights. So, you know, I mean, after this fight, I mean, he needs to try to get a you know, Triple G, a Canelo, even a Lemieux or guys like that, you know, like or Billy Joe Saunders or something like that.
Would you like to see them fight Hurd?
Yeah. Hurd's at 154, though, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm the other Charlo.
Oh, the other Charlo. Oh, well, hell yeah. Hell yeah. I think that's going to happen. I think that's going to happen next year.
I hope so. I think that'd be a great fight.
I think it's going to happen next year.
And then, obviously, Brazil, the last one on that card, Carlos Negron. Kind of, I would say, a keep busy fight for Brazil. He's still waiting for that shot at Wilder.
Yeah.
You can't, obviously, you know, he's fighting Fury, so you can push that aside. I actually did think because White has fought like three or four different types of WBC eliminators to make himself number one for Wilder.
All these eliminators.
So is Brazil. So I don't know why those two guys don't just get it on.
Yeah.
Since they keep keeping them away from Wilder.
I'm sure eventually it's going to happen, you know, but who knows? It hasn't happened yet, so maybe it might.
Yeah.
Maybe it might not.
Moving swiftly on, January 13th, Jose Uzcategui against Caleb Plant. That should be interesting.
That should be an interesting fight.
We're actually going to get on the show just probably around that time.
Hopefully, yeah.
Jose's manager / trainer, Jose Cital. That should be good. This should be an interesting fight. Those two keep going at each other on Instagram and Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Caleb Plant's never too far away.
No, he's not.
From
he's always there.
Some interesting comments, videos.
He's got those Twitter fingers.
Yeah, so you know, we'll try and get Jose and on as soon as we can. So just keep following the Twitter and the Instagram, and we'll get those on. Next one, January 26th, Keith, one time a year, Thurman.
One time a year.
Against...
it's almost been two Jose, years, man. It's insane.
Against Josecito Lopez. Another one who's actually agreed to come on the show. So yeah. hopefully soon we can get him on.
At first it was becoming a joke, one time a year and stuff like that.
It's yeah.
He needs to fight at least three times next year. At least.
I know it's kind of early, but who do you see winning that? Do you think, because Keith kind of gives the impression that he's kind of overboxing.
Yeah, I could see that. Especially as time kept going on this last, year or two for him. I kind of felt like, and he got married too. And he's obviously made pretty decent money.
Injuries.
Yeah, and then honestly, I feel the same way. I feel like he's just like, I'm kind of over it. Like, it's really not. But I'm still picking him to win.
Not just saying it to go against you. I could see Josecito if he's got.
I can't see it.
I know he doesn't look too great in his last two fights, kind of a gimme fight last time out, but Josecito's got everything to win in this fight.
Oh, yeah. He absolutely does.
It's one of those ones where you could see that Thurman handpicks him and then Thurman slips up.
Yeah, well, there's always that chance, of course, but I just can't see it.
No?
I just can't see it. But if it does, well, shit. That's going to be insane.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. That's going to be insane. February 16th, Leo Santa Cruz, Miguel Flores. That's just another fight I think Leo Santa Cruz should win. It'd be a big surprise if he loses. Speaking to his management a couple of weeks ago, there was talks of them looking into the Cal Frampton rematch and also Gary Russell Jr.
I think Russell Jr. needs to happen before Frampton.
I would love to see the Gary Russell Jr. fight. That really is, going to be a...
I don't know why they just didn't make that fight for when they announced this.
I was surprised.
Why wouldn't they just make Santa Cruz Russell Jr.? I get, whatever.
Well, Gary, one time a year.
You
can't do it in February. What's he going to do for the rest of the year? You're going to wait till summer.
Seriously, I wonder how that works.
Guy could have made so much more money.
They've asked him too. Why do you fight one time a year? He's like, it's just a business. And he kind of gets irritated by the questions. He's like, it's true, man. Whatever.
Dude, he could have halved his career. Just said, I'm going to do two fights a year for 5 years instead of one fight a year for 10.
What do we got next?
February 23rd, the week after, Anthony Durrell against Avim Yildirim.
Oh, yeah.
And that's for...
The Durrell's brothers.
That's for a WBC...
Super middleweight?
Super middleweight title, I think. Didn't it? Wasn't there a vacant one?
Is it vacant? Might be.
I think it's for this. I thought Durrell would pass it. I honestly, his last few kind of showings, I thought...
Yeah.
He looked kind of like Thurman. They were overboxing.
Yeah.
Yildirim... Obviously, people who recognize the name, he fought Chris Eubank Jr.
Oh, he did.
That was the one where Eubank scorched him with that body shot.
Yeah, that's right.
Literally, he's very, very one-dimensional.
Yeah.
Durrell should, if he's got anything left, take him out. It's kind of an easy fight for him. March 9th, Sean Porter, Yordanis Ugas. Now, this, I think, is a great fight.
I like Ugas.
I do. Good fighter.
I like him.
Underrated, kind of off the radar a little bit.
Yeah.
That'd be an interesting fight.
I don't think Sean Porter should sleep on this guy.
No, exactly. That'd be good to break down nearer the time.
Yeah. In terms of name recognition, of course, Ugas isn't another like a Spencer or anybody, but in terms of talent, competition, that's a good fight.
Yeah. March 16th. Did you miss this one out?
This is
the big one.
This is Fox pay-per-view.
Errol Spence Jr., Mikey Garcia.
At AT&T Stadium. Are they really going to try... They're going to try to sell 100,000 seats?
They think they're AGA.
Wow. I honestly don't think they're going to come close.
They'll block some off, won't they?
Well, yeah, they're going to block some off. Yeah. But I honestly think they're probably going to do, I don't know.
Half?
No, I think they're probably going to do maybe 30, 40,000.
If they price it right.
Well, yeah, if they price it right, and that's what they're going to have to do, but they're going to see how that sells. And if it's not selling, then they're going to just drop it and just.
Give them away?
Yeah.
I thought
that was a big gamble in terms of the venue. I mean...
Yeah, I was surprised.
I mean, Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys must be giving them a lot of money for him to get that fight. I mean, great fight.
Yeah,
great fight. But I honestly thought they would have fought in Vegas. I mean, it could... I don't know. I could be wrong completely because Mikey's obviously Mexican. There's a lot of Mexican fan base in Texas. They love their boxing over there. And Errol Spence is a native Texan, so this could work. It could work, but I don't know. I think it's a huge gamble with I think it's the biggest stadium in the country, isn't it?
I think so. I think it must be
Arlington, AT&T Stadium. But whatever. It doesn't matter. The biggest thing is that this fight's happening. Yeah. Did you see that face off? Like, man, Spence is a big guy.
Yeah, there was a definite size difference. Yeah.
Size difference.
But, right, three more, and then we're done. So March 24th, Lamont Peterson's back. Sergey Lipinets.
That's a decent fight.
Decent fight, yeah.
I'm going good fighters. I'm going Lipinets.
You think so?
Yeah. But we'll talk about it more as it gets closer.
April 13th, Caleb Truax, Peter Quinlan.
Quinlan. I feel like I haven't seen Quinlan since he got knocked out by Jacobs a couple of years ago.
That's another decent-ish fight. You know?
Yeah. The schedule's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I mean, PBC do.
I mean, they have so much. Al Heyman has so much of these.
So many good fighters.
So he has the power, so.
April 20th, Danny Garcia, Adrian Granados.
No.
Adrian Granados, his management team, obviously do not like him. They always match him so hard. He's for everybody, that guy.
He's like Rosado. I think he's going to be like that. Like, hey, well, he's down. He's down to fight. Let's just put him on the card.
Never, ever see him in a gimme.
Yeah, no, never. But I think he likes it, though. He's like, why not? I'm going to do it.
I'm sure he gets good paydays.
Oh, yeah. So, you know.
And I can't remember the date of it for the life of me. It's not on this list. Another friend of the show.
John Molina Jr.
John Molina Jr., exactly.
Omar Figueroa.
Can you remember the date?
I think it's in January.
Dude, it's close, isn't it?
I think it's January. Yeah, I think it is in January. If you guys listened to one of our previous episodes, we were trying to get him to tell us who he was going to fight, but it wasn't signed, sealed, and delivered yet. But he's fighting Omar Figueroa. I thought he was going to fight on the Wilder Fury undercard, but I guess he's not. So, but you know,
February 16th.
Oh, it's February. I thought it was January. Excuse me. But you know, good luck to John Molina Jr., friend of the show. That's great. What else do we have on that schedule?
It's in LA, and that was it.
That was the PBC, right?
The one that they released in the picture.
Yeah.
There was some more fights, but I'd have to look into it more. But it's February 16th for any John Molina Jr. fans, and it's listed as being in LA.
Nice.
Doesn't say which stadium, but Los Angeles.
It doesn't matter. It's all here. Yeah. We'll be at that fight. That'll be a good fight. But I'm glad we're back. I know we had a scheduling conflict last week, but we're back in the thick of it. You know, we're recording a little late in the week for a couple weeks due to some scheduling issues. So, you know, hopefully you're still listening to us, whether it's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Audio Boom, all that stuff, Google Podcast. You know, we appreciate it. Like I said, you can tweet us, Instagram us, at the last round 12, at the last round, the number one and the number two. Send us questions, what you want us to talk about, who you want us to try to get on the show. You know, because we're moving forward here. We're moving forward. You got anything else, Mike? Closing remarks?
No, just keep listening. We should have a good few guests coming up. We've reached out to and they've agreed to come on, like the ones we said, Josecito Lopez, Mauricio Herrera, Leo Santa Cruz. So just keep an eye out for those. We may even do some episodes where we just get them in and we literally just talk about them for the full hour
until
fitting the fights in.
I'm sure we're going to do that.
Yeah, sure, just gives them more time to kind of concentrate on them and get their life story.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we got a big boxing season coming up, huge, with all these networks and PBC, Showtime, DAZN, ESPN. We're going to be busy. We're going to have a lot of things to talk about. And it's probably going to be a lot of things that we're not going to be able to talk about because there's so much. But, you know, we'll touch on them. So thanks again, and we'll see you guys next week. This is the last round.
Thanks for supporting and listening to the show. Follow us at The Last Round 12 on social media. Rate, review, and subscribe. This is The Last Round.